What's up, everybody? Welcome to Moxie Bets, presented by Caesars Sportsbook. I'm Katie Mox, your host, and we've got a great show for you today. The Sweet 16 starts tonight. We'll give you our best bets and pick winners for each of those games. But before we get into our pick, let's welcome in Danny Brasco, usually Mr. Monday, today Mr. Thursday. How we doing? How we feeling?
I know it's got a different ring to it, but I'm happy to appear on Moxie Bets any day of the week. We got Sweet 16 to cover, so I'm excited. The bracket is not looking great, but the matchups are, and that's what I'll be focused on here.
I'm glad that you brought up the bracket, Danny, because that is our mock thought for today. We had the Moxie Bets Bracket Challenge, which is going strong. So many of you guys signed up trying to get that guest spot here on Moxie Bets. I'm so excited to meet whoever is the winner. So let's check back at these brackets, Danny. So of the three of us, right, it's me, you, Kenny Betts Big, Mox is leading the trio here, but I'm still 67th, and there's a lot of 67s on this list. Then you and Kenny are tied at 95. And let me just check to see who the winner is so far. So far, 330 Vincent 4 is winning. He is the sole rank number one. There's a lot of number twos, a lot of number fours, all of those things. But 330 Vincent 4 is so far winning. He's got Bama winning the whole thing. I also have Bama winning the whole thing. Danny, who do you have?
Yeah, I mean, I did have Kansas as my nothing sweeter than a repeater. First team to repeat since, what, it would have been like 20 years almost, I think. And maybe it was biased because Kansas won me so much money last year. I was watching in New Orleans. It was like the most epic comeback. I kept betting on them. So I think my heart was tied to them. And they're bounced early and my bracket is incinerated. So now I'm going to side with the number one guy, Vincent, and with you. I think Bama is the most complete team to take it. But hey, wouldn't be surprised if that got knocked off too, the way this has been going.
Danny, would you say that this is, I know it's called March Madness, but this feels like more madness than normal. I feel like there have been more crazy upsets. The fact that I believe in the Sweet 16, there's about only two number ones that are left in it, Houston and Bama. The rest, I mean, it's just, it's been a wild ride. And overall, I am down. I am down bad. How are you doing with your
bets? First round was March sadness for me. I mean, I didn't do so great. Yeah. The next round I'm starting to, you know, get my reads better a little, but yeah, not profitable so far in March. So it's been frustrating, but you know, it's not even on the huge, you know, favorites. Like I wasn't on Purdue or anything like that. Like you said, historic stuff, 16s beating ones, 15 still in it in the Sweet 16. It's been tough to handicap in a lot of spots. The dogs I thought were attractive didn't come through. You know, the classic favorites get knocked off. So it's been tough reads, even if you are on the sharp side of things, and hoping that it gets easier as the tournament goes on.
I hope it starts regressing more towards the mean here. Caesars Sportsbook, it's not just an app. It's a whole empire. Iconic casinos, hotels, world-class restaurants. It's all yours with Caesars Rewards. Because every bet you place, win or lose, earns reward credits, which you can redeem for hotel stays at over 50 destinations, meals, tickets, merch, bonuses, and more. Get started today. Create an account with promo code OMAHAFULL. 21 and over, 19 and over in Ontario. Must be physically present in Arizona, Colorado, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Louisiana, Massachusetts, Maryland, Michigan, Nevada, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Wyoming, or Washington, D.C. Sports betting is void in Georgia, Hawaii, Utah, and other states where prohibited. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem, Illinois, Maryland, New Jersey, Ohio, Tennessee, Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, affiliated with RS Philadelphia. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, crisis counseling and referral services can be accessed by calling 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Or in Maryland, visit mdgamblinghelp.org. Or West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. Arizona, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP. Colorado, D.C., Nevada, Wyoming, Kansas, affiliated with Kansas Crossing Casino. Call 1-800-522-4700. Indiana, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Iowa, call 1-800-BETS-OFF. Louisiana, call 1-877-770-STON, licensed through Horseshoe, Bossier County, and Harris, New Orleans. Massachusetts, if you or a loved one is experiencing problems with gambling, please call 1-800-327-5050 or visit gamblinghelplinema.org for 24/7 support. Michigan, call 1-800-270-7117. New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NEW-YORK or text HOPE-NEW-YORK 467-369.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, Danny, time now for Capper's Corner to give some sweet 16 picks. How sweet it is to be picked by us. You like that? I thought that was actually pretty fun. Okay, you got Michigan State versus Kansas State. Michigan -130, spread 1.5, favoring Michigan State, over under 137.5. What do you like here? Kansas State is one of the fun ones.
You went how sweet it is. In my head, I went sweet 16, like that crazy MTV show with the psychotic teenagers, that rich psychotic teenagers that had daddy's money to ride in a horse. Yeah.
I love that show. Let's do it. Let's spend daddy's money on these bets.
Let's do it. And I'm gonna spend it on the Spartans here. I mean, I like Michigan State in this matchup. It feels like both of these teams have overachieved to an extent, but I want the blue bloods, like you call them. Tom Izzo is fired up right now. I've watched a play in the game against Marquette. There you go. We got music references.
I'm still going. I'll be here all night.
H of the Izzo was throwing the arms up off like offensive rebounds that his guys were getting. Like one of his forwards got an offensive rebound. He was so jacked that he called a timeout and was jacked up about the little things. His team is playing so hard for him, like they always do. And I like teams that slow it down and play that kind of wearing, grinding style on you. Kansas State likes to run. I think that favors it's a disadvantage for teams that want to play with pace, because you see how these games can just crawl down to a rock fight. And that's what I expect Michigan State to give them. So stylistically, I think it's a good matchup for them. I think they outscrap Kansas State and continue moving on to the Elite Eight.
I lean that way. And you obviously did talk about the defense here, which, of course, especially when you think about Michigan, defense is such a big part of their identity. However, I'm still going to lean over 137.5 on this one. You got the best coach with, Tom Izzo, and then you got the best player on the other side with Noel. This is the first time that Marquise Noel has been back to New York in 3 years. He apparently stayed there through COVID, and instead of going home for summers or for holidays, he stays in the gym and is working. He's like the most electric little man that there is. And you already hit on this. Both of these teams' strength is defense. However, I do see that this pace might be a little bit faster than this line suggests. Noel just dropped 27 points on Kentucky. And then you got Tyson Walker on the other side, who scored 23 points against Marquette. So I feel like this one is going to be a little bit faster. Kansas State did miss the first 13 3-point attempts against Kentucky. Wait, I'm going to take that out. Sorry, guys. I don't know what I'm talking about here. What? All right. I'm just going to start in the middle of this. Then you got Tyson. Wait, 3, 2, 1. Then you got Tyson Walker on the other side, who scored 23 against Marquette. He's actually scored at least 20 in 7 straight games. So give me the points with this one. You got two of those New Yorkers coming back to MSG. I think it's going to be electric, and I think it's going to be a higher pace game than maybe this line suggests.
Interesting. You know what? I unders are, as the king of the under, I will say unders are starting to scare me, because they have been so profitable in the beginning of this tournament. Yeah. And I feel like that trend is going to start to flip, especially the way that you can see these games end. If you're down by 7 and you have the under, and a team is down by 7 late in the game, it's probably the worst scenario, because they're going to foul and foul and foul to try to make it a one possession game. And that racks up the score. The last minute of the game can feel like an entire half, and you can get your over just on that. I could see this ending like that. So yeah, if you're going to play the total, maybe it ends in a close one leaning to the over. I kind of agree with you.
I can't wait to see Mr. NYC, this the best little man there ever was, just go off at MSG. You know his whole family is going to be there. He hasn't been back in 3 years. And yes, Michigan State does have a really good defense, but I don't know if they can stop this little guy. So I'm excited to see what he can do. Next up, Arkansas versus UConn. I don't know if it's because I live in Connecticut now, and I was walking to Edie the other day, and there was the UConn Husky mascot just walking around the park, because there is actually a UConn campus here in Stamford. So I'm kind of feeling the Huskies. They are favored -4, this over under 140. What are you thinking?
I want to lean towards the under in this one simply because it's Arkansas. Like, the spread at 4.5 is scaring me a little bit. I agree with you. I favor the Huskies to win the game, but at more than a possession in these kinds of games, it's scaring me. I could see the Huskies winning by one possession and the Razorbacks covering this all the same, right? I'm going to play the total instead, thinking that if Arkansas is going to hang in it and keep it close enough to potentially cover, that they're going to have to do it on the back of their physicality and defense. And that's what they do best. I don't love the way their offense runs a lot of times. UConn just looks a lot smoother and more efficient with the ball in their hands. So yeah. Arkansas has to make this one ugly if they want to stay in it. I'm going to bank on the shot that they do make it ugly and keep the game under 140.
Okay, I could ride with you on that one, but I still am going to take this UConn minus the 4 or 4.5, depending on where you got it. And you touch on this. The Huskies are the better team on paper, so they definitely should prevail here. And one thing that I zeroed in on is that the Huskies are great at the free throw line, and the Razorbacks consistently get themselves into foul trouble. They're one of the worst teams in the country in foul rate, 335th in the entire country. UConn also 11-2 straight up and 10-3 against the spread since February. They've been on just a wild run. So living in Connecticut, we got the UConn campus right here. They're the better team. They're good at free throws. Give me UConn minus this 4 or 4.5. I'm willing to take the 4.5 as well.
You know,
looking
what now
at Florida at
I was just going to say before you move on, there's a caveat now to the under. Now you've dissuaded me a little bit, because the physicality of Arkansas, which can be their best feature on defense, can also get them in foul trouble, as you pointed out. And if they're fouling a good free throw shooting team and they get in the bonus early, man, I'm going to be nervous about that under, just racking up 3 points with no time running off the clock. So maybe a half unit now. Maybe you've reduced my bet.
A little hedge. Okay, I like it when I can persuade you. Okay, Florida Atlantic, who does not like to be called FAU. They came out with a statement saying, please call us Florida Atlantic. Florida Atlantic versus Tennessee. Okay, so money line, Tennessee favored -250. Look, Tennessee's favored to win the whole region. Actually, I believe it -140, -120, one of those. And then this over under 129.5. Tennessee is the line is -5. What are you thinking here?
Yeah, I mean, wow, FAU really got some sort of ego going out. Hey, don't call us FAU. Like, come on, dude. It's the letters in your name. But it was like having an identity crisis here. FAU is demanding to be called by their proper pronoun. In any case, I think that they're going to cover this 5.5, actually, because people have been flip-flopping on Tennessee I feel like frequently this season. In the first round, they were slated to potentially be a bust against Charleston, and they pulled off a win in a scrappy game. Then everyone faded them against Duke, thinking, look at Duke. They just rolled through Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts is a very popular underdog pick. Rolled through Oral Roberts. Okay, Duke's going to cook Tennessee. And Tennessee handles them. I think people are going to go jump back on the Tennessee bandwagon, and I'm going to go the other way. Tennessee struggled with good three-point shooting teams. The SEC was one of the worst three-point shooting conferences in all of college this season. And the few teams they faced that shot the three ball at a good clip, they went 2-5 against. Missouri is a key matchup I'm looking at in this one. Missouri has a similar style to FAU in the way that they shoot the three and play their offense. Missouri handled Tennessee. So I feel like style-wise, FAU could stay in this game and cover this number, if not maybe upset the Vols here. So I'm going to go against a popular Tennessee team now all of a sudden and take FAU to cover. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this one's hard for me. I'm taking the under, but I kind of lean Tennessee, but I don't know that I'm going to actually take that. So the Owls play at MSG actually for the first time in school history, which is really exciting for those kids. They've won 9 straight games, and Jonnell Davis has been an absolute beast. He's the first player in AA tournament to have scored 29 points, 12 rebounds, 5 assists, and 5 steals in a single game. That's like some professional NBA stat line there. So the only 2 wins that they've ever had in the NCAA tournament in their history have been this season. So this team is a very frisky team. It's one of my favorite words to use. But the Vols are better. They're better. And that's why they're minus 140 to make the Final Four. But they have lost to a lower seed in four straight NCAA tournaments. They're also 1-7 all time in regional semifinals. So it's like, I lean Tennessee. I lean there because they're the better team. But they haven't been afraid to crap the bed in recent years. So I don't know that they're going to get my money on there. But Tennessee's defense is what I'm kind of banking on. Their defense was ranked third in the nation during the regular season. They allowed just 58 points per game. They're also number one overall in defensive field goal percentage at 36%. And also in defensive three-point percentage at 25%. FAU, Florida Atlantic, don't like to be called FAU. They've been making a lot of three-point shots, which is what's made them really an interesting and fun team. Now, they're going against the number one defense against the three ball. I think that's going to kind of cut this down a little bit, which is why I'm going to lean on this under. Even though I kind of like the Vols, I'm not giving them my money.
That makes sense, right? They are tough to trust. And, yeah, really more than anything, like, losing Ziegler was their best offensive player. The problem with Tennessee is that they don't put enough points in the basket. Like you said, their defense perennially is fantastic. You just have to score more points than the other team. Without Ziegler to be their bucket getter, I worry about that offense struggling in some points and just not having enough to get over the top. So I would worry that about them, and an unders and Tennessee game go together like, you know, wine and pasta. So I'm not mad at that either.
Wine and pasta. I get Gonzaga, the number three seed, versus UCLA, the number two seed. Now, Gonzaga did get bounced out last year in the Sweet 16. So some of us are still a little burned by that and scared of the Zags. UCLA is favored minus 125 on the money line. 1.5 spread, just under a bucket, favoring, of course, UCLA. Over under 145.5. This is a high one. What are you thinking for this?
Yeah, I'm expecting more heartbreak for the Bulldog fans. I mean, Zaga loves to break your heart. They love to be that shiny toy all season long. Fantastic offense, number one KenPom offensive adjusted efficiency. Every stat in the world is going to tell you Zaga will light it up. And I just don't think they'll be able to get past UCLA here. The Bruins are just a slower, tougher, grittier team. And I've been sort of a theme with Michigan State. And now again, like, I favor that a lot of the time in these tournaments where, you know, the saying isn't offense wins championships, it's defense wins championships. And a lot of the time, you know, that flashy style or your game plan that you've been running during the regular season comes to a screeching halt when you get yourself into a fist fight in tournament style basketball. So in what I expect to be more of that, I'm going to go with the Bruins to have more than them here. I think defense wins out and the Bruins get past the Bulldogs.
All right. Finally, we're on the same page here, Danny. I am also riding with the Bruins because, like we both said, you can't trust the Zags. In March, they are 0-7 against the spread in their last seven NCAA tournament games. They're only 3-20-1 against the spread all season. So they weren't even that good all season against the spread. And you look at UCLA, they've been profitable, 8-3 against the spread in the last 11 NCAA tournament games. They're also 21-13-2 against the spread for the entire season. So better team, better history, better against the spread with a tight, tight spread like this, just under a bucket. I am riding with you on that one. Into the sunset. And making some money. Okay,
let's take a look.
It's good to be on the same side. Yeah, exactly. Because then we can both be winners, right? Otherwise, one of us has to lose, which is unfortunate. And I'm number 67 and you're number 95 with Kenny on the bracket. All right. Taking a look at Friday's games. San Diego State versus Alabama. This is a 7.5-point spread. And I'll just go ahead and say this one. Look, these are kind of early leans, what we're thinking. It could change. Don't necessarily hold us to us. I'm taking San Diego State plus the 7.5. Now, don't necessarily tail me on this one because a very, very good friend of mine is an assistant coach at San Diego State. Shout out to Dave Velasquez. They have never been past the Sweet 16, but they've been impressive against the spread, 4-1 in its last five postseason games, 2 NCAA tournaments, and 3 in the Mountain West tournament. So they've been pretty profitable as of yet. Look, I don't think that they're going to advance, okay? I don't think they're going to win this game. But the 7.5, I'm going purely on vibes. I'm taking the dog here.
I think you're on the right side. I also agree that Alabama wins this game, but 7.5 is way too many points. I typically, you do not back Mountain West teams in the NCAA March Madness tournament. They have early exits and they have poor showings and poor cover rates. San Diego State has been the exception here. They're battling through. People thought they would lose their very first game in which they were in a very bad travel spot, but they were able to get through that. And now they're here in the Sweet 16 against probably the nation's best team. getting what, almost four possessions here? The way they play defense is making this spread attractive. Their defense is fantastic. And even against Bama, I expect them to be able to contain it. I don't think Bama's going to drop 90 on them. So in a game that I don't expect crazy amounts of scoring, look, the total's at 137. Typically in Alabama games, total's, you know, well above the 140s. So it's going to show that I think odds makers are expecting fewer points. And when the total comes down and the spread is high, I want all those points I can get. So for those reasons, I lean San Diego State so far, and I'm going to watch where that line moves.
Let's go. I hope that my friend can finally get past the Sweet 16 and they can move on to the Elite Eight. All right, looking at Miami versus Houston. Houston, obviously one of the favorites pretty much all season long. They're laying 7 tomorrow. Look, both of these teams have been great against the spread. Miami actually 20-14, Houston 19-17 on the season. I'm gonna lean Houston on this one. I'm gonna lay the points with them because yes, they've looked a little bit shaky at times, but that's mostly due to health. But Sasser is looking like his usual self again. He dropped 22 on Auburn, and Miami has never made it to the Final Four. So I think that Houston is going to get all the way to the Final Four. I think that they get through this, and I do think that they're going to look more like the team that we've seen all season long. So I'm not afraid to lay that 7, even though Miami has been very good against the spread.
Miami just looks so good right now. So I'm not going to be surprised when public money and tickets probably come in on them. I mean, they handled Indiana. Wong, their point guard, was absolutely just so smooth with it. Like, he was facilitating and raining threes. Their offense, when it's clicking, looks really good. I like their head coach, Jim Larrañaga. He's sort of like, I'm not going to overcoach mentality. He lets the players do their thing. He's not like overly in their ears. He gives them trust. So I like the identity of the team. But I think they're going to be overvalued here. And Houston, yeah, I think, gives them a tough style to play against. Houston's been really tough to trust, too. They're one of those classic, again, great defensive team. But they just don't always do enough on offense to get over the top. I'm going to believe they can.
But they've been injured. Their two top guys have been injured, but they're getting health. They remind me of the 49ers, and maybe that's why I like them so much. This team that has a lot of expectations, and they could go really far. But what's their biggest problem? Health. Health is their biggest problem, but they're getting healthy again, and I think they can make a real run here.
I agree. I mean, if Sasser is on, I don't think the guards in Miami are going to have an answer for him. I think Houston defense could find an answer for the Miami offense and might be overvalued after an amazing performance against Indiana. So, yeah, for those reasons, I'm leaning towards Houston's spread so far, even though it does feel a little wide. But just because Miami's going to be like a public underdog, I got to be on the opposite side.
Yeah. All right. Princeton versus Creighton. Princeton is the Peacocks of this year. Don't count New Jersey out, evidently, in the NCAA tournament. So this one is a double-digit spread. I believe it's 11, right? Creighton laying 11 here. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm seeing 10 right now. It looks 10 and a half. 11's maybe on the board somewhere. Woo, that's a steep, steep spread. And this is sort of how I felt about the FDU game. When they were, after they had knocked off Purdue, and they came into the next game against FAU as like +6, +15.5 underdogs. I was thinking to myself, this is outrageous. They just beat Purdue. Like, why are they huge dogs again? Maybe the matchup, maybe it's just, you know, again, the style. Purdue just, you know, faltered on itself. And I'm thinking, but then all the sharp money goes on FAU. You know, again, I wouldn't have thought odds makers make the spread so wide for no reason. And FDU only covers, you know, ends up covering again. So I'm feeling like, is this more of the same with Princeton here, who's knocking off teams they're not supposed to beat? They're beating them outright. And we get to Creighton here, and they're +10, +11 again. Like, how do you not take that? Once again, they're going to be a public underdog. I lean towards the other side. I can't go with the popular, pretty Cinderella picks when everyone knows about them and everyone's jumping on them. It feels like it's too late. Creighton looked so good in their last matchup. They couldn't miss. Everything they were doing was just – I love the way that offense runs. So – I don't know how Princeton gets by them here, and I don't understand the spread. So I'm gonna go against my instincts and lay the favorite, if anything. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, it's hard for me because I made so much money last year on the Peacocks, but the Peacocks were a fun team. Princeton doesn't feel as fun to me, right? Because it's a bunch of like smart nerds. Like, to me, St. Peter's felt more Jersey, more gritty, more fun. You know, Princeton, it's like, okay, yes, they're a number 15 seed and they're in the Sweet 16. It's like, I don't know. I'm not rooting for them the same way I was rooting for the Peacocks. I mean, also, what a great mascot, the Peacock. So I don't want to lay the 10 or the 11, whatever it is, with Creighton. Now, that just feels like too large of a spread when you have a frisky team that has been upsetting some really, really good teams. So instead, I'm going to take Creighton in the first half minus the 4.5. When I was looking at some stats, so Creighton has hit the first half money line in 20 of their last 23 games. They're up 16.30 units. That's a 27% ROI. But that's minus 320 on the odds board. So obviously we're not laying that. When you look at their first half spread in 17 of their last 23, they have also covered. That's at 40% ROI. So laying the 4.5 with the better team, staying away from the double digits, trying to get out early. And then, of course, look, if this blows up, I could try to hedge and do different things. But I do feel pretty confident seeing how well Creighton does in the first half, laying that 4.5.
Yeah, it feels less scary than laying a huge double-digit number, right? Especially fouling and trying to get back in the game. And late show, we saw what happened to the TCU-Zaga game, 0.7 seconds for the cover on the three. Yep. That can happen even more with big spreads. So I like the first half angle there.
All right, let's go. Okay, so now we got Xavier and Texas. Now, I know that Kenny has Texas winning the whole thing. So he's got, look, and if they do, maybe he'll shoot up on the Moxie Bracket Challenge board. But right now, I'm going to go chalk on this one. I really believe in Texas. Spread is 2, so just a basket. Longhorns have now won 6 games in a row, and they're 5-0-1 against the spread in those games. 4 of their players, Danny, average double digits. Now, Texas did lose to Xavier also in the 2004 Sweet 16. It was 79-71. So I feel like that's on the back of their minds, too. They're not going to get bounced out this year. So I like Texas to win. Spread is pretty tight, so I'm going to lay the points with the Longhorns.
I feel like this is sketching me. I honestly don't have a
plan
because everybody's going to be on Texas, and I feel like the spread should be bigger, and it's scaring me a little bit. So
you think it's a trap?
I mean, I don't see Xavier beating them. I thought Xavier would struggle once they lost Fremantle, who's one of their better players. Without him, I didn't know if they could make this run. He's like their offense and post guy, and here they are. So with everyone piling on to Texas, like I don't disagree. I have them advancing in this game, but the market is scaring me. So TBD, I'll get back to y'all on that. I'm scared. I'm scared of this one.
Scared money don't make no money, Danny. Come on. But I feel you. I feel you on that. And you still got a day to think about it. All right. Thanks so much, Danny. Good luck with all of your bets this weekend and in the Moxie Bets bracket pool. We'll have to, you know, we'll have to see how this shakes out over the next couple rounds here. This has been Moxie Bets presented by Caesar Sportsbook. Don't forget to follow us on social @MoxieBets, and we'll see you next week.